You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only come. ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me,
people.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. Yes. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, and hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, and you will get it done. And that's why we have a lot of admiration and love and respect for you, because you always get it done. You don't procrastinate, and you do it safely. You keep your distance. You wear your mask, especially if you don't get that jab, you know. I ain't saying get the jab. I ain't saying not to get the jab. That's up to you. But, you know, if to me, you keep your distance whether you get the jab or not. That's what time that is. This is crazy out here. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But also, too, you can go right direct. You can just put in Baba Oshi, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, right there to you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, and I must add that Brother Elliot sent me some information about out of the 100 podcasts, American African podcasts across the country, we are 45 and moving up. A few months ago, we were 50-something, and we're 45. Good content and good brothers and sisters information that's put out there by us. So thank you for listening. So we're moving on up. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And on Mondays, and Brother Ellie's supposed to send me an updated list because I think we have some programs that are not happening at this time. I'm not sure if they'll be coming back or not, but hey, who knows. But on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Itaki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. Just this evening from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out, brothers. Go to WeBuyBlack.com. When you buy the products, your shipping could be free, depends on how much you spend. But these products are produced by us. Check it out. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahimba has been taking our people to the motherland over 450 in the many years he has been doing this. His upcoming trip is November 18th through the 29th of this year to Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th, April 1st through the 11th, 2022, to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2022, to Ghana. Each trip is $3,700 per person. Put a $400 deposit down and pay on it biweekly, monthly, whatever the case may be. And you can take a trip of a lifetime. Everything you need is on the website at africanfortheafricans.org. africanfortheafricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. Africa for the Africans. Habashah Incorporated. Habashahincorporated.org. These brothers are doing the work. Habashah, helping Africa by establishing schools home and abroad. They are doing the work. The great projects that they have, the Kashi Project. Of course, they deal with sustainable agriculture. The Kashi Works Project, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project is happening in Ghana. The buildings are up. It is still, you know, go on the website. Go on the website. Habashahincorporated.org. They also have a repatriation program to help you repatriate to the motherland, a six-month online course, and then a trip to Ghana, West Africa. Africa for the African. Excuse me. Habashahincorporated.org. Habashahincorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. LedgeGroup.com. Go to theledgegroup.com, brothers and sisters. They deal with the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on six countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. They need more members. And membership has its privileges. If you are a member of the Ledge Group, you can purchase land. You can purchase land as a member only for $250 in Tanzania. $250 in Tanzania. So check out theledgegroup.com. BB Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. BBAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to BBAtumi.com and make it a favorite. Make it a place where you always go. They have good information constantly. Various programs, educational programs, language programs. They do Akan, which is tree. They do Ifan. They do Medu Nature. Of course, they do Swahili. They have a beginner's course and an advanced course of Swahili. And of course, we need to be able to speak in a different language that is independent of Europeans. So, BBAtumi.com. Oh, Habashah, Habashahincorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, let's go here. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, is open on weekends. The Shrine is open on Friday and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And they do have services, so just go online to the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, with delicious fruit smoothies and vitality drinks and pastries and wraps and soups. And on the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, they offer vegan dishes. That's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. And the Village, the Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Check them out. If you're in Macon at 2910 Napier Avenue, give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. His place of business is stocked. Well, I mean, he offers everything. He even has a restaurant. Just a beautiful place. I've been to Macon a few times and did not know this place existed. It'd been there a long time. You know, I even went to a cultural festival. They might have been vending. I didn't know it, but check them out. Homeland Village and Cultural Center in Macon. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, figurines. Right there in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call. And, of course, my good brother Gazimde Ajamu with the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore. He is located in Lithonia. He has established a coffee bar serving delicious African coffees and teas and pastries, bean pie. So give brother Gazimde a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall at Booth 225. For more information, please give my good sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby L. Aurelia, who's doing outstanding work on the island of Haiti in the northeastern portion of the island. So, brothers and sisters, go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org, Sanjay dash Haiti. Baba Barudi. Oh, no, I almost forgot here. Us Lifting Us. And tomorrow they have their Thursday night broadcast, Us Lifting Us. Their broadcast is every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Okay? But if you want to call to listen and or if you have a question, comment, or concern, just hit 1 and you'll be up in the mix. Dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or we like to say, family-centered economics. Baba Barudi, Mama Ya, please, brothers and sisters, they need our support, and they deserve our support for the great work they're doing to raise our young warriors. You can go to PayPal or Cash App. At Cash App, put in the $ Ya, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your donations. If you want to check out the books that Baba Barudi, you know he's a prolific writer, go to AkabenHouse.com. AkabenHouse.com. And you can check out the number of books this brother, and of course, you know I'm about to read the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I've been doing that now for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years. And this one came out at the end of last year, ready for this whole year. So, the Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought, September 14th. Our message should be that everything in our lives must reflect the basis, foundation, and vision of African sovereignty. Let me repeat that. Our message should be that everything in our lives must reflect the basis, foundation, and vision of African sovereignty. A nation without acts of sovereignty is a nation of slaves. They will be victims of a conquered seeking their enslavement existence. A spiritually sovereign nation is made up of an independent, culturally centered, and accountable people. They are unified through their vision. Their nationhood is sanctioned by their African worldview. Baba Obadeli Williams. I remember when I first met him here in Atlanta. A very good brother. Very good man. Baba Obadeli Williams. He made his transition about 3 years ago. Studying and practicing our traditions gives us informed, critical understanding of what to maintain and strengthen and what to ignore and discard, because it provides us with our historical understanding of what has and has not worked for us over our time on this planet. This is the only way out of this madness. Let me repeat that. This is the only way out of this madness. We must move in that direction. Everything we think, say, and do must point us toward the wholeness that only ruling ourselves can bring. Our righteous path cannot help but reveal that nothing in Urugu's reality works toward African sanity. Therefore, whatever we may build to empower our sanity and sustain it at its optimal level must exist outside of the European's matrix, outside of the Urugu. We must wake up to the fact that our ancestors did not send us here to be under Urugu. This awakening will bring forth those acts of sovereignty, which will bring to power the love we need for each other to be whole. Affirm, I am part of a spiritually sovereign nation. Affirmed, I am part of a spiritually sovereign nation. September 15th, we are not the caretakers of nature. We are nature. We're not the lords over the earth. We are the earth. Yaya Ola Femi. Europeans loudly speak about the myriad of ecological travesties that they set in motion and systematically benefit from something that humanity did. As with all of the negativity they bring, they refuse to accept blame and instead project their misdeeds on any people subject to their lies. They refuse to acknowledge what they force other people into doing as a result of losing their plentiful resource space and being absorbed into Western society's modes of production and consumption. If they do accept any responsibility, it is because image matters in the imperialistic deceptions, not only because of any real sense of guilt, having studied but misread the unqualified appreciation, adoration, and reverence for nature in the traditions of others. Europeans see their conquest and rape of it as evidence of their superiority over those backward groups. As God veers, they are compelled to twist Asheye into her most unnatural state. Nature into a most unnatural state. In their tradition of rhetorical ethic, their efforts to save the planet are no more than a cruel joke designed to fool others into believing that they are altruistic and not politically motivated acts. The heavy politicizing of these efforts indicate a conscious indeed to make those lies everyone's truth. In addition, reservation initiatives, usually detrimental to the basic humanity and survival of indigenous people, are meant only to save a captive nature as a laboratory and a museum for the viewing of pleasure of their progeny. Affirm, I am nature. Affirm, I am nature. I am the earth. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Brothers and sisters, I am very happy today to have my good brother and guest here today with me. And who used to be on Wednesdays. So it's appropriate that he is on today. And that is Brother Franklin Jones. Brothers and sisters, the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones. How you doing?
I'm fantastic, my dear brother. Thanks for having me on.
Always, man. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
How you been doing? What's been happening with you?
Fantastic. As you know, I've been doing different podcasts, some directly out of the UK, some directly from Africa. And it's been going pretty well. Continually pushing the information, and elevating the minds of our people. That's the mission here.
That's what we must do. That's what this program is dedicated to. You know,
I would like to open by saying this: because the oppressor's greatest weapon is the ignorance of the oppressed, we must reduce the ignorance among the oppressed, and this means we must educate our people. So that we can liberate our people. That's what must be done. We could come on this podcast today and talk about the same old things we always talk about. We're complaining about this, complaining about that. But we, to liberate ourselves, our people must be given a clear and accurate understanding of our condition. Because if our understanding is flawed, then all remedies that stem from those misunderstandings will also be flawed. So true Black liberation begins with educating the oppressed.
I agree. Yes. That responsibility is ours. That is
yes,
ours.
It is.
And, you know, I think the problem becomes is that even those of us who understand that, A lot of us, we say these things, but we don't put together the resources to make that happen, you know? And because theoretically, well, what we're trying to say here is what we should say to any major city where a good number of our people are, we're going to have these educational institutions. You know, it reminds me of the European Jews. You know, my daughter went to back in Milwaukee when they first started having this integration of schools. They had a program called the Chapter 220 program where they could go from the city into a suburban school. And my daughter went to Whitefish Bay, a suburban school. And a good number of Caucasian and particularly European Jews went to that school. You know, it's a public school, you know. But what they told the school system, just like, what was that, Yom Kippur the other day? We're not going to be in school because this is Yom Kippur. We ain't being in school because this is Hanukkah or whatever. You know, they said this because you know why? They don't rely on the public school system from their aspects of European Jewishness to teach them anything. That's their responsibility. Now, you can go to that school and get the science information, the English information, stuff like that. But when it comes to the cultural information of what they are about as being European Jews, that's their responsibility. And that's our problem. Yes. We rely totally on the school system, you know? Yes. And so where we should be pulling our resources and having some independent schools. So say, for instance, you can still send your kid to the public school, but in the evenings or on weekends particularly,
yes,
we have these schools where we teach our young people, our children, and even some adults, cultural information, how important it is to, you know, eliminate our minds from all this madness and instill in our minds the culture of who we are.
The reason why most of our people will not do these additional schooling, as you said, on the weekends or after school, because they don't, they've been socialized away from seeing the importance of it. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the oppressor's monopoly over our minds and how it's being exploited to our detriment. There are three ways to effectively manipulate and socialize the mind, right? By what we're taught, by what we see, by what we hear. Because the white man controlled the education we're taught, the media images we see, and it's the style narrative we hear. This allows him to manipulate our minds to think in a way that serves his interests without us realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And because black people have been socialized to think in this way, many of us have lost the capacity to fully critically think and discern the difference between reality and fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe that we're being controlled by slave syndrome, which would be the least effective method used for controlling generations of people. And we are blind, psychologically blinded from seeing the reality. The reason why black self-loathing, self-hate exists, and this reverence towards whites, is because the white society controls the information that's being fed into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Because they control this information, they're able to shape our minds. If you can control the information a people receive, you can control what they believe. And this is how we're being controlled. And our minds have been dumbed down to such a point where we're insisting that it's a slave syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And the slave syndrome protects the system of white supremacy because it distracts our attention away from the war against our minds by making us believe that there's a fictional character who created a system that brainwashes us for millions of years. We have to function based upon reality and facts in order to liberate ourselves. If this was not true, the oppressors would not be spreading so much disinformation into our communities. The disinformation is designed to keep us from gaining a clear and accurate understanding of our plight and condition. There are social sciences that are being used against us. We must realize this. The average black person listening knows that our ancestors were enslaved and stripped of their history, their spiritual system, their culture. And as far as we know, but we don't realize that the white man in 1968 found that he had to further socialize us by creating a fraudulent, divisive identity upon us and impose it upon us. He conditioned us to see ourselves through a marginalized, inferior status. And this inferior status is how it maintains his dominance over us. To overcome a physical superiority, you have to create a psychological one. If we outnumber them globally, they use psychological warfare to keep us divided. They tell us that all studies favors them over us to instill the belief of our inferiority to them, inferiority. And when we approach them feeling subservient, we say, oh, it's the Woody Lynch myth. This profound ignorance prevents us from liberating ourselves. If our people could be made aware that of this direct system, the awareness of it will make our people say, okay, I have to teach my children true Black history. You now see the importance of those Saturday classes you mentioned. But our people have been socialized against their interests. The media tells us who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, where to place our interests, where to place our values. And the media, the information we receive, is controlled by the white man. So naturally, we have these Black people, millions, who have a value system that serves and protects the system of white supremacy. And until Black people liberate our minds and start understanding that there's a social science that's being used to control us, we will never liberate ourselves unless we realize this. Every day, a value system that protects and serves the system of white supremacy is being downloaded into the minds of Africans. They start doing it during education development. It's done underwritten through media propaganda. We are being programmed. Now, we know that millions of Black people now perceive themselves as their own worst enemy.
I hate that.
And we're bare Caucasians in spite of a brutal history to the contrary.
I hate that. I had to apologize to the elder, but when he said that, I just jumped on his ass because I hate that. I hate when we say that. We're our own worst enemies. Yes. No, but no. I mean, number one, you must understand what an enemy is. Okay? And then the other thing, when you understand what an enemy is, you know, what you do to move against the enemy and what the enemy is trying to make you do to yourself, you must acknowledge these things, see? Mm-hmm. And then put it into the proper perspective. No, we're not our own worst enemy. The European is our enemy. Here's the one that does this. He's the one that did this to us. He's the one that makes us think this way. He's the one that has set the boundaries, the imposed boundaries upon us that we feel we can't get out. He's the one that put the vice grip on our minds. And if you understand that tool, once the vice grip is set, once that Caucasian set that vice grip, the only one way you can release that vice grip, there's a knob at the end of the handle that you turn. That is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self, believing in ourselves, trusting and respecting ourselves, understanding our culture, our history, our traditions. And then the more you infuse yourself with that vice grip, that knob is constantly turned, the tension is released, and bam, it's opened up. But not that you challenge Caucasians, because they suffer from cognitive dissonance. Ain't a damn thing that we can do or say that will change them. We change ourselves. We change each other. We embrace ourselves. Because our whole thing is not integration, not assimilation, not appeasement. Our whole thing is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us. That's what it is. And that's what we must do.
Yes. Now, speaking in terms of fact, now, let's focus on facts. Now, you just mentioned out, we just talked about how many Black people are self-loathing, perceive themselves as their own worst enemies, and revere Caucasians in spite of a brutal history to the contrary. And this is too widespread among Black people to be merely coincidental. This mindset among Africans clearly benefits the white society. Whenever the oppressed thinks exactly as the oppressors want them to, it's never a coincidence. It's always by deliberate design. We have been socialized to think in ways that serves and protects the white society. And we must recognize this fact, because until we recognize it, we cannot do nothing about it. You have to understand what's being done in order to liberate yourself from it. Now, the socializing, this socializing of our minds, now, many of us right now, we say, you know, the self-loathe because of slavery. No. In 1968, white social scientists studied the African-American community because of the unprecedented unified Black protests to understand why and what can be done to fix the problem. Now, what they learned was that while the white oppressors, through their weaponry advantage of guns and cannons, could enslave, invade, and murder African people. They could not maintain peace with African people indefinitely unless the minds of African people have been socialized to think in ways that ensure that we do not seek retribution against them. Here is why. When you start studying the collective human mind, whenever people are under long-term oppression, their collective aggressions against the oppressors will continue to grow until acts of rebellion becomes inevitable. This is an inherent part of the human psyche. The way to prevent this is to bombard the oppressed with information, with disinformation, that misleads them to believe that it's themselves or their own worst enemy. This shifts the collective aggression of the oppressed away from their oppressors and direction against themselves. This is what's been done to Black people. There's something else why the socializing of Black people is necessary. In the human psyche, it is not, people are tribal. It is not normal for people to accept the long-term or the indefinite dominance of another racial group over their lives. In order for people to accept the dominance of another group over their lives, they have to also be socialized to accept it. And the way you do this is to continue to tell the oppressed that they're in a state of crisis and they therefore need the oppressors to govern over their lives. This is what the white society does to the Black community. Every time you see a report about us, we're in some form of crisis. We're in crisis. And we are killing each other at the highest rate. This creates a mindset that benefits the white society. Many Black people tell you, I rather white dominance over my life than Black dominance. Now, this mindset, I want people to, you know, because the white man's monopoly over mine, he has created a mindset among our people, which is also called thinking without thinking. Well, we are just regurgitating the narratives that the white man imposes upon us, but we're not thinking for ourselves. When we are thinking, when our people think that the oppressors want them to, it's because we've been socialized. And many African Americans will tell you, I'm glad that slavery happened because it took us away from that backwards land of terrible place known as Africa. There are Africans on the continent being received an education from the whites who says, I'm glad they invaded Africa because they better us because we were uncivilized before they came. When the oppressed thinks exactly the oppressors, it's because we're being socialized. And until we recognize it, they're going to continue doing it to us. We don't recognize that the white society has turned their monopoly over information. They've weaponized it against the Africans. They've weaponized it against us. And so because they control the information we receive, they're able to control what we believe. And here's from their position. Do not do this to the Africans. Do not manipulate the minds of the Africans. The white society would then be diametrically opposing their own self-interest. To not to do it would be against their own self-interest. Because while the white society professes equality of all of its citizens, it is unrelentingly committed to the preservation of its nation's white dominance and control. There's also an immense fear of massive unified Black retribution that exists among those white societies that have been brutally oppressive Africans for centuries. This immense fear of Black retribution and unrelenting commitment to maintaining white dominance necessitates that the white society deploys psychological warfare against Black people. From their position, they must do this. Furthermore, the funding for this program is done under national interest because they say it's a governmental duty to protect its nation's stability and peace by preventing dissent from rising amongst the oppressed. So right now we have governmental agents who are experts in propaganda, psychological warfare, who go out and they study the African-American, the Black community globally, this is being done. Then they study our weaknesses, our strengths, our vulnerabilities, our likes, our dislikes. This gathered information, they come together, and then they create propaganda that best designed to shape the minds of Black people to think in ways that benefit the system of white supremacy. It is a social science. We have to approach it as a science. We have to elevate our minds above superstitions, urban myths. When black people, and it's heartbreaking when a black man says he's conscious. And then he starts talking about Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch is what an ignorant person says to sound smart. It's shocking when black people say that a Bible that was brutally imposed upon us by our enslavers who rape, torture, and kill us will now set us free. That is an asinine way of thinking. But what happens when people's minds have been socialized, they cannot see the ludicrous in what they're believing. They cannot see the ignorance. And our problem is that the ignorant and gullible and naive are overconfident in their silly ideologies. And those of us who can see the truth are filled with doubt. The ancestors said, those who know must teach. There is this social science they created. It was created due to the behavior of African Americans during the 1960s. Unprecedented black protests. African Americans confront white racism on every front through civil disobedience tactics, militant means, and with African Americans pleading our case for equality in America's highest courts. And they studied us. And they said they have to shift our collective aggressions away from them and redirect it against ourselves. They also studied that we African Americans have developed a what they call a what were they use? They said a view of Africa that hinders African Americans from developing an allegiance to America. And they say to increase African Americans' allegiance to America, they had to erode our allegiance to Africa. So this started the propaganda campaigns when they started bombarding us with negative depictions of Africa, negative depictions of Africa. The best way to separate the people from their roots is to humiliate them, to make that roots be a source of embarrassment for them. And it's really simple. Let me break this down to the most simplistic way of the system we're under. Imagine that brutal invaders broke into a home, utilizing their weaponry advantage of guns and cannons to rob a home, steal it as well. And when they left, they took some of these children from the home and enslaved them. Now, while these people, through their weaponry advantage, were able to go into the home and rob the home and kidnap these children, they're not able to sustain peace long with these children unless those children's minds have been socialized to think in ways that ensure they do not seek retribution. And here's how you would do that. You would start retelling the children the story about their kidnapping from their home. You will tell them that you didn't kidnap them. They were sold away from their home. They were unwanted by their homes. Then you show them pictures of the home distorted, dilapidated, ruined, destroyed. You don't tell them that you burned the house, that you caused those damages, but you show them those pictures. Now, once you keep showing the children the picture of a dilapidated, ruined home, and said that their parents in the home didn't want them, this will cause the children to feel indebted to the kidnappers because it makes them perceive the kidnappers as being rescuers. This is exactly the mind state that exists among Africans throughout the diaspora. Many of us see the enslavement of our ancestors as being a good thing because it brought us away from the terrible place of Africa. And the narrative that most slaves were sold, which many, many Africans throughout the diaspora believe that story. But here's the reality. If Africa owned all the natural resources, all the gold, all the diamonds, and European Western money had no value whatsoever in Africa, what means could the white society use to purchase the majority of their slaves? And why wouldn't the white society utilize their weaponry advantage of guns and cannons to maximize their profit by kidnapping most of the slaves? Now, while they got cooperation from some Africans, the number of Africans that fought against them far outnumbered those who joined them. And here's how they got them to join. When you found a group of Africans and you need help catching slaves, you will say, okay, we'll make a deal with you. We will not enslave your people if you could help us in enslaving others. And under that pressure, they got some Africans to help under the guarantee that you will leave my tribe alone. But the analogy that we've been given is one that totally absolves whites and makes it appear that the slavery was due to the wretchedness of the Africans ourselves. Whenever the oppressed have a mindset that benefits the oppressors, it's because you've been socialized to think this way. And until black people recognize that we're walking around with a value system that protects the system of white supremacy, we will forever be the white man's slaves. The slave of the black slave of the 21st century are those who can overcome their socialized minds. Let's go now. People, for example, those who are saying that Jesus is on the mind, I'm telling what we want, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now let's look at how Jesus was introduced to Africans. Jesus was introduced to Africans. Christianity was introduced to Africans by those who enslaved us, raped us, castrated us, tortured us, lynched us, raped our children, men and women. Now, if you believe that this is how the true words of God will be introduced to a people, you are a damn fool. To believe, knowing how Christianity was introduced to us, to believe that's how God introduces himself to a people? It's ridiculous. Like, it goes back to thinking without thinking. Our people has, many of our people has lost the ability to think for themselves. Malcolm used to say, I just want you to think. I just need you to think. Malcolm X said it because Malcolm X saw the socialized minds of our people. But because the narrative of the liberator, our narrative is not being echoed enough. Our narrative is not given a national platform. It allows the ideology of those of us who are dumb, those of us whose minds have been dumbened, and that ideology to prevail for our community. The ideology that prevails to our community is the falsehood.
Right. Well, the ideology that does prevail is acceptance of what Europeans have done to us, even though we don't want to admit that, but it is deep in, embedded in us because we still want to go after their institutions. We still seek assimilation and integration and acceptance of Europeans. We follow their religious traditions and we believe solely we believe so hard in it. There's some of us who have they change it to liberation theology. It's the same Christianity, but they want to put a black face on it and they believe that. To me, there's all of the concepts that Europeans have imposed upon us should be rejected, should be eliminated. We seek nothing from them but retribution when is the time. Once we're solid, once we're whole, we seek retribution and reparations and so forth and restoration. But at this moment, we seek nothing from them. No counsel, no words, no nothing. We want anything that Europeans have because we're reestablishing ourselves. In fact, here's a piece that I just saw that when I was on the internet. This is Baba Nana Balfour, Dr. Asa Hilliard. We must make ourselves whole again. We must restore and renew. We must look into the open Ma'afa wounds, grieve and remember those lost us through miseducation, collaboration, and those who resisted. As we conquer our oppression, we give ourselves permission to follow the Sankofa bird and look deep into the well of our own culture. We don't glorify the culture. We use it. We don't glorify. We use the culture. We will create ourselves out of ourselves. It is there for us. Everything we need is right here for us. But unfortunately, you know, we, because of our training, we don't want to grasp it. We don't want to deal with it. You know, you know, the European has once again put a vice grip on our minds.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And this vice that he's created, we have to recognize this is by design because we are the African American culture immediately following slavery was not what it is today. We were building, we were changing, we were restoring, we were completely following following slavery in the U.S., African-American writers wrote amazing bodies of nonfiction work aimed at elevating the collective psyche of our people. Many African-Americans could be found reading literature by W.E. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, George Washington Carver, Langston Hughes, J.A. Rogers, and a host of other black literary. These literary pieces worked of resistance aimed at transforming black consciousness. And it was doing that. Black illiteracy, which was 30% in 1990, had dropped to less than 7% by 1955. Black illiteracy had almost disappeared in the North, and in some areas, black illiteracy was less than whites. This was the case in New York. In 1950, black colleges had 71,000 students. Nearly all were from the South. And 4,500 African-Americans had doctor's degree. Okay, now, check that also. Following the 5 years following slavery, from beginning 5 years after slavery, from 1870 to 1940, African-Americans filed 726 invention patents to the U.S. Patent Office. And this more than doubled the numbers submitted by whites. Now, the white man saw this and saw that we are a threat to maintaining his dominance. So what he decided to do was to maintain our dominance, we must take control of the black man's image, the black man's narrative, and condition the black man to see himself as less. And so they take their control of their narrative and they impose it on us to overcome a greater people. You have to condition them to believe that they are the lesser people. And this is what's being done to us. The average African listening right now doesn't know five positive narratives about black people. Why is this? Because there's a deliberate effort to keep us believing the less about ourselves. White society has used their monopoly over narratives to mentally enslave the black man. 99% of black people who use the term mental slavery don't understand how real it is. Don't understand the degree of it. And 99% of those who use the term are themselves mentally enslaved. The white man realized when he saw how we were excelling following slavery. Could you imagine a people going from being enslaved and not education to making most of the inventions in the world? These are the narratives most people don't know. And to maintain their dominance, they have to create this illusion. Like, for example, many people believe that they've been under call for the white man. They've been under libel for the white man. But we have these things because of black men. The white society, to maintain their social dominance, they've created a false identity of who black people are. And they've imposed that identity upon us. And here's a kicker when you understand how the mind works. Once a preconceived belief has been embedded into the subconscious mind, the person then only sees those things that appear to confirm the belief, and they become psychologically blind from seeing things that refutes it.
Right. It becomes
this is why many black people will assist you. I know it's true, we are our worst enemies. Right. I see with my own eyes, we are our worst enemies.
Right.
And they will argue down, man, you crazy, man. Baba, you crazy. We are our worst enemies. I've had people argue with me about that.
Right. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
See, to understand, you have to educate yourself about how the mind, there's a flaw within the human psyche, okay? And this flaw in the human psyche has been exploited to mentally enslave many Africans. And here's the flaw, like I said earlier. Once a preconceived belief is put in your mind, you can only see the things that confirm the belief. This is why many black people insist that the white man's negative depiction of us are accurate. Now, I'm going to go basic again. There's a black man, and he's been conditioned to believe that all black women are loud and abrasive. If you take this black man to a function where there are 50 black women and one of the women starts acting the way he has been preconceived to perceive black women as, he will then look at you and say, man, I told you, man, black women, they're just loud and abrasive. You can't take them nowhere. But he's psychologically blinded from the reality that 49 of those black women are not acting as a stereotype. This is also why many black women would insist that most black men are marrying white women. Because once that belief has been preconceived into your mind, when it got into the world, they notices those interracial couples. They notices more of those black men they see with white women rather than the greater number of black men who are with black women. U.S. Census shows that 86.5% of black men are married to black women. Only 7% are married to white women. We are functioning based upon a mental prison, a projection of us that's not accurate. We have to understand that there's a science to maintaining dominance. There's a science to long-term oppression of a people. To, like, for example, let's look how, in a white society, you'll notice that all narratives that we receive by white people that makes any type of generalization about white people are positive. All narratives that we receive by black people that make any generalization about black people are negative. Can you not see how unrealistic this actually is? It is completely unrealistic. But many black people don't realize, and we begin to normalize it.
Well, listen,
when a black person goes in a room and he sees that he speaks before a majority of white people, he feels somewhat inadequate. He feels subconscious. And when you say it's Willie Lynch, you make a fool of yourself.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break, brother.
Lynch, you are not, Willie Lynch, you are not able to find a solution when you believe it is that. It is something that's better within us.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break.
Brainwashing.
Brother, we're going to take a break.
Okay, go ahead.
I need to take a break. So this is a great conversation, as always. And we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, for both those brothers and sisters, there are a few of us on here in the queue. If you want to ask a question or comment, press star twice. Press star twice. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, give us a call. We're on today with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I'm ready!
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And, of course, Time for an Awakening, we're moving up. We're out of the top 100 American-African podcasts across this country. We're now 45 and moving on up. That's James Brown. Need those hits. The big payback. Hit me. Today is Roberto Clemente Day in baseball. Roberto Clemente was just an outstanding individual, great ball player out of Puerto Rico, and a great humanitarian. He was killed in 73 when he was delivering supplies and food and so forth to the earthquake victims in Nicaragua. His plane went down and he passed. But in 1971, and I remember the World Series in 71, man, he was outstanding. He threw at least two or three runners out at third base from way deep in right field. He had a can, he had a gun. This is a phenomenal baseball player. But the September 1st lineup in 71 for the Pirates against the Phillies, the Philadelphia Phillies, had all nine positions where people were brothers. Rennie Stennett, who also was from Puerto Rico, Gene Clines. Rennie Stennett was at second. Gene Clines was in center. Right field, of course, with Roberto Clemente. They had Papa Stargell. I know he played first base for many years, but he was in left field. Manny Sanguin behind the plate. Man, love Manny Sanguin. Dave Cash at third base. Al Oliver at first base. Jackie Hernandez at shortstop. And the pitcher was Doc Ellis. Man, nobody but brothers on that team that day. And they won the World Series in 71 against the Baltimore Orioles. Great series, seven games. They did it again in 79. If some of you might remember, 1979, the family, when Sister Sledge's song came out, We Are Family, that was their, they took that as their song. And Papa Stargell, yep, Willie Stargell was the leader of that team. You know, swinging that bat, that big lumber. Manny Sanguin had big lumber, too. He had a big bat. Man, baseball. I'm not a big fan of baseball, but I watch baseball. I was particularly watching it in the playoffs and World Series over the many years. The New York Mets became my team in 1969 and for what they were able to do. And, of course, they beat the Baltimore Orioles. It is Roberto Clemente Day, and well-deserved. It's a great man. It's a great man. There was something else I wanted to announce. Let me see. Where was that at? I don't know. Well, anyway, we're going to get back to our guest, Brother Franklin Jones of the Black People's Makes. We got a lot to talk about. And you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Franklin Jones.
I'm back, my brother.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to open up with the analysis, the example of a musician who does magic on stage.
Sure. That
when
sounds
you're
great.
When you're watching a magician doing magic on stage, if you don't know how the trick works, it bewilders you, it amazes you. But once you are given an understanding of how the tactic works, how the magic works, it loses its ability to manipulate you. And once it loses its ability to manipulate you, it can no longer manipulate you. Because the mind, once expanded to a greater radius by the truth, never returns back to its original smaller size because the truth doesn't allow it to. This is why we must learn the truth of how the white man tactics works. Because the truth in the system of white supremacy acts like a virus against the system of white supremacy, a virus elevating black minds and building an immunity to the white man's manipulation practices. Like, I know many black scholars who has, for more than 40 years, have been scratching their heads I said, why is it the white society insists on portraying the ancient Egyptians as being Europeans? I mean, could you imagine if there was an ancient kingdom in Europe that was built before any Africans ever been in Europe, and we Africans were claiming that that was our ancient kingdom? That would be ridiculous. But the white society has done just that. They found a kingdom in Africa that was built thousands of years before the first Arabs and Europeans ever visited Africa and claimed that that's their history. They claim African history as the history of Europeans. Now, many people who've been pondering on this, going back and forth on this, once you understand the social science behind it, it elevates your mind. The reason why they do it is a social science. According to white social scientists, a people's future is predestined by their past. According to their theory, a inspiring past is necessary to have an inspiring future, because people reference their future capabilities based upon their past achievements. So because the white society doesn't have a type of past that inspires them, they stole the history of Africans. This is what social scientists mean when they say those who control the past also control the future. The white society took the history of Africans, and they teach it to their people. Now, according to this theory, truth is not important to inspire people's future. What's only important is what's believed to be true, what's perceived as true, because people function based upon their perception rather than what's actually true. So the white society removed themselves from the ancient caves of the Caucasus Mountains.
Oh, must have lost my good brother Franklin Jones. I apologize. He'll call right back. Caller, good afternoon, caller. Good afternoon, caller.
Boshi, is that me?
That's you. How you doing,
sorry,
man? How are you? Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Sorry.
It's been good to have you.
Absolutely.
Brother Paul, it's great to hear your voice. You've been doing okay?
Yeah. You know, to get on, let me just mention this. For some reason, we don't get the normal internet access, but however the signal's being blocked. But you have to jump some hoops, many hoops, to actually, to, you know, so I want to put it out there, you know, this is the type of thing, you know, where it's assumed that you're going out over the net, wide web, as they call it, but it's not certainly reaching us in the normal fashion. And this is actually what's taking place. So I don't know if it's to do with who control the technical side or some other auxiliary function, but it surely doesn't go out the normal way, and there's many hoops to jump to get the signal.
Well, I'm glad you were able to do that, Brother Paul. I really am. I haven't heard from you in a few, and it's always good to hear from you. And so we got to try to maintain that line of clear communications. Of course, you know we got our good brother on, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. Brother Franklin Jones, are you with us now?
Yes, I am, our dear brother.
Thanks. All right. You got Brother Paul here, man.
Hey, Brother Paul, how you doing? Sound fantastic.
Yeah, and it's even better to hear your voice and marvelous work. And I must say this to you, brother. It's great to know that, you know, you're going out, pushing out across the globe, you know, because you're putting out there is needed. And, you know, people are, yeah, at least where I am at, in London, they know your name, you know.
Yeah.
Good thing, and that's what we all must do. I really, really, because I can do this, I'm pushing that. We must think global basis. We must.
Yes.
It's, you took Malcolm X even pointed this out. We must up our minds, you know, to the globe. Yeah, okay, we have to deal with our domestic affairs and similar fears, but one of the strengths these people have to reach out around the globe, and we must counteract that.
Yes, true. The only way to fight the white man's propaganda is with our own counter-propaganda. You're right.
I'll continue to listen, and I just thought I'd touch base with you.
All right, Brother Paul. Thank you, man. Continue to listen and jump in. You know, hit star twice. And if you have a question or comment, okay, dear brother? All right, brother. All right.
The white society has perfected the system of white supremacy to such a degree that before we black people who are conscious can even confront the system of white supremacy, we're forced to first fight against many of our own people who have been brainwashed to defend it. This is our hidden reality when we don't understand it. Like many people says, how come we don't have any more national leaders like Dr. King or Malcolm X? And they believe that those black men were some abnormalities, something abnormal to the African-American culture and community. But in reality, there are millions of African-Americans who are able to sit on a national platform and argue our case for equality globally. But the reason why we no longer see them anymore, this design benefits the white society. We both agree on that. We agree the fact that there are no more national or global black leaders speaking our truths benefits the white society is by design. Everything's by design. The white society learned it was by giving Malcolm X and Dr. King media attention. It provided them a national platform that elevated their followers. It made them more, so therefore made them more powerful. So now the white society no longer gives a national platform to those of us who speak truth. They give a national platform to those who are their black puppets. And those black puppets act as gatekeepers for the benefit of the system of white supremacy, those Al Sharpton types. When the society functions the way the oppressors want it to, it is always a social engineering design. Black people must learn how our society is being socially engineered for the benefit of white supremacy. You see, back in the 1960s, they also determined when they studied the African-American community. Now, like the African-American community, the system they developed against African-Americans, they used globally. They used it in London. They used it all over. Now, what they discovered was this. They realized that the old blatant methods used for maintaining white dominance had become no longer socially acceptable with the changing times. So they had to develop more covert systems for maintaining white dominance. Now, they realized that globally, when the African Americans were pushing for equality, there became a shifting of moral judgment in favor of African Americans and against the U.S. government. Therefore, Dr. King was awarded a global peace prize. He's totally embarrassed the U.S. government. So what they realized that to oppress black people, they have to manufacture societal consent to do so. This is why in the media we are constantly criminalized, vilified, denigrated. This is why when people come from other countries to America, they come here looking down at African-Americans. This is why when Africans come to America, they often come looking down at African-Americans. So many times I've heard black people from other countries coming here, and when they want to talk, they'll say, you know, African-Americans are lazy. They don't use the opportunities. They come here with these attitudes about African-Americans. Why? Because the media image of African-American that being spread around the world, it is one designed to make others insensitive to our plight. This facilitates the white society's mistreatment of us. It's all propaganda. I was saying we have to educate to liberate. This is why other groups come looking down at us. And also, you have Africans on the continent that have a negative opinion of African Americans. There are African Americans that have a negative opinion about Africans on the continent. Now watch this now. Those African Americans who have a negative perception of Africans on the continent, and those Africans on the continent negative perception of African Americans, are failing to recognize something. Our images of the different group, our depictions of a different group, is controlled by the white society who controls the global media. This allowed the white society to ingrain divisive perceptions of each other. So when an African-American, African flies to America looking down African-Americans, he comes to a preconceived belief that's been formulated into his mind by the white society. The African-Americans who go around and say, Africa don't like us, who's never been to Africa. African-Americans who believe that, they've had a conversation with Africans. So where are these mindsets that divide us coming from? Where does this mindset that divides us to the benefit of white supremacy coming from? It is coming from the white society because they control our media images, the narrative we hear. They're able to ingrain a value system into our minds that benefits the system of white supremacy. And until black people understand how the system works, we're able to create, we cannot guard our minds. We have to understand the system and educate our children. We have to teach our children what's being done to them. Once we educate them, they'll be more equipped to deal with racism because they'll understand how their minds are being constantly attacked. Because our people don't know, we fall victim to it. Now, there are those, I'm sure how messed up the minds of some of our people are. If you were an Asian, Mr. Chinese, and you stood into a room with a bunch of Chinese, and you said, start praising the Chinese people, you'll have the audience clapping. Yeah, yeah. Any different group. But if you got on a table with a bunch of Africans in there, Africans globally throughout the diaspora, and start praising African people, there will be those who are sitting in the audience who become uncomfortable, who become uncomfortable by your praises. They find it literally easier to continue making negative comments about their race than to hear other positive comments. This is not normal. This is because the African mind has been socialized to think in ways that serve the white society. We must stop normalizing what's been done to us. We have black men walking around with their pants hanging off their ass, calling themselves niggers, calling women bitches and hoes, glamorizing pimps, and we've normalized all of this. There's nothing normal about this. There's nothing normal about our collective state. This is the result of social engineering. Most people believe that the media reflects our reality, but in truth, the media shapes our reality. People most often become those derogatory media depictions of themselves that they accept as being their reality.
Especially when you see it over and over and over again.
Over and over and over. Yes, and a people who have been stripped of their true identity and culture are more susceptible to negative media social engineering than those who have not been stripped. So we African Americans are more susceptible to media social engineering. The white man controls our media images. Back in the 1960s, when we call us our brothers and sisters, we became more unified. We had when we had a positive view of Africa, we had a higher self-esteem. The white man realized that he had to lower our self-esteem and socially engineer us away from calling each other brothers and sisters. You see, words have power over the cycle, over the subconscious mind. We function based upon the words we apply upon each other.
You know,
and
that's a good segue to what I'm going to be talking about Friday. Words. Words have meaning. When you use the word that, when you say we are slaves,
yes.
You know, these words give you impressions. Words give you vision. Words give you images.
Yes.
And of course, if the people who are controlling those words give them to you, they're going to give you the image that they want to give you. You see?
Yes.
See? And so that's why I'm going to be talking about that on Friday, because I've done a program like that some years ago, but we need to do it now because lately I've been hearing, you know, once again, people talking about mentor. You know, we should not use the word mentor because of the story of the Iliad and who mentor was when Odysseus gave his son over to mentor. And of course, he sexually abused this young boy. So no, we shouldn't talk about somebody being a mentor. Okay. There's an African word, jegna. Or plural, jegnat. So there's an African word. We shouldn't use slave because we were not slaves. We were captives because it gives you a different impression. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. Mm-hmm. We have never submitted. We've always resisted. We always fought. you know. So there's a lot of other words I'm going to be talking about and going over that if only we would not use those words in those contexts and change, it would change our mind. It would change our vision. It would change the way we look at ourselves and each other, you see.
Yes.
But those who are in control of this system, they know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing. They know that words have power over the subconscious mind, and words are very powerful. And when we repeat often enough, words become our biology.
Mm-hmm.
This is why women who proclaim themselves as being bitches become stubbornly unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
It's why men who call themselves thugs are more likely to engage into a fight than to avoid one. We become what we call ourselves. This is why they socialize us to call ourselves niggers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they created the propagandists create an ad that we made the word our own, and they're using it empowers us. This is totally untrue.
That's untrue.
We did not make the word our own.
Yeah,
when we call ourselves niggers, we psychologically assign ourselves to a subordinate status within the white dominant society. The white society used its monopoly over everything to shape our minds to think in ways that benefits the white society. We also, the alpha male, who is designed, who by natural inherently, he is designed to protect the female, and he is designed to protect his community. Once the African alpha male is made to perceive himself as a nigger, this shifts his collective aggression away from his oppressors and redirects against his own people. When he's made to perceive his woman as a bitch, he loses that protective nature of the woman. If there is a war against our minds that we, most of us don't understand. We have to elevate our minds. Okay, the old system of white supremacy was so basic that you could tell a child who's 3 years old, don't go across the tracks at night, because if you go across that part of town, the white man's going to hang you. And the child knew how to stay away from that area of town. But the racism today is so sophisticated that some way compare the old type as having a GED and its modern type as having a PhD.
Yeah.
Because it's created by social scientists. Like, for example, when most black people, I'll be honest, we are focused on the police brutalities, racist police, there's a serious issue, and the Ku Klux Klan. But the ones who entrap the majority of black people are the white social scientists and propagandists that manipulates our minds to think in ways that serve the white society. And we don't realize it. It's all around us. It's in the movies we watch, the education we're taught. They're doing it. We outnumber them globally. And they have oppressed us for more than 400 years. From their position, they have to use psychological warfare against us. And the only way it's going to stop is when the oppressed recognizes it and starts developing counter strategies against it. Oh, I'm telling you, these men who use this stuff, they've studied the minds. I'm going to show you how effective this is. Sometimes we jump and say, oh, it's voodoo, magical. No, these people merely studied the mind. I'll give you an example. In America, cops have been killing black people for centuries, right? So when we had the protests a couple of years ago with the athletes being taking a knee, have you noticed that the U.S. government's done nothing? There's no change? Now, when Asians start being killed, being harassed and mistreated, they immediately created this deal to protect the Asian people. But black people have been killed by cops and nothing has really been done. Now, ask yourself, how have they been able to just ignore us? How have they been able to do absolutely nothing? Nothing. Because of a social science known as gaslighting and benign neglect. Benign neglect is when you have a situation and you in power don't want to address the situation because the situation benefits you. So what you do is you deploy gaslighting tactics against the people, and therefore nothing comes from their complaints. That's what's being done to black people. Gaslighting is a form of mental abuse. This is why when black people says Black Lives Matter, we hear the narrative, all lives matter. That's not some common phrase that someone just threw out their asses. That is a propaganda narrative that's designed to divert our attention away from it. Or the tactic when they say, when you talk about black people being killed by whites, they'll say, what about blacks who kill blacks? That's not even a true rebuttal. That's a tactic called whataboutism. These are tactics. And what happens is, and how the system works is, the oppressed is never acknowledged as morally correct, and the dominant society is never wrong. The grievances of the oppressed are never recognized. The oppressors will continue to spread misinformation until the oppressed start to question their own reality and stop protesting. This is why when black people talk about white racism, they call us racist. They keep calling us racist. Now what happens is the black person who's protesting white racism now puts himself in a position where he's really defending himself against the accusation of racism, while the white racist behavior is never addressed.
See, that's why
when they have these news broadcasts about the Cosby killing black people or the protesting, they would have this entire broadcast, and the entire broadcast is about all these protesters insulting the flag. Are they insulting our troops? And they'll do an entire hour broadcast on whether or not these people are insulting the flag, while the issue of cops killing black people is never addressed by the society.
No, it isn't, and it continues to go on unabated because, just as you just stated earlier, here when the Asian people are being attacked because of particularly because of Trump, you know, the Chinese flu and other issues, and people were attacking Asian people, you know, now, even though Asian people have been here a long time, you know, and but yet we have been lynched, we have been castrated, we have been mutilated, all these things over many years. In fact, to me, one of the most courageous women in our history is Ida B. Wells. Ida B. Wells Barnett, when she acknowledged and brought to the fore the lynching of our people, you know, in fact, she was going to be killed herself in Memphis if she didn't get up out of there, and then she did and went to Chicago, you know. But all those many years and decades, and this, I think it's a European Jew named Ginsburg wrote a book, 100 Years of Lynching. Documented, us being lynched repeatedly for no reason sometimes, but they don't have to have a reason. It's just that they could just got a sheer hate that they have, you know, and ignorance that they have. You could be walking down, I can say to my son, hey, listen, go on down the street, take these bars of soap and go to Aunt Judah May's house because she got some greens, and you come back. And you're only supposed to be gone about a half hour at the most. Now it's been an hour. It's been two. Next thing I know, we see him dangling from a tree for no reason, just because they could do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the evilness, the hatefulness of these Europeans. And so, you know, the thing is this. For me, we must reject everything. And I know that's hard to do because we're living in it. You're bombarded 24/7, 365. But we must reject everything that the European presents to us. Reject everything. We must revert back to who we are, our culture, our knowledge, our information, our spirituality. One of the main problems for us is the theologies that we've been getting, that have been imposed upon us. Christianity, yes, and Islam. Yes, and Judaism and all the other ones. We must reject this, and then come.
You're absolutely right, my brother. And our people need to understand it. Like on the gaslighting, I want to just close on the gaslighting part real quickly. If you took 10 of your friends downtown to protest the killing of black people by white police officers, unarmed innocent black people by white police officers, if you took 10 with you, and while they're protesting, they keep hearing the rebuttal. All lives matter. Oh, what about black who killed black? What about blacks who killed black? What about blacks who killed black?
The old false narrative. The old false equivalent.
Yeah. Yes, when you return the following day, four of them won't return with you. The mind can be easily manipulated but doesn't understand how the tactic works. These are all tactics within books. You can learn these stuff. There is a way that the white society overlooks, avoids, retribution. What's the law? The law of
reciprocity.
No. When karma. Here's how the white society.
Okay. Yeah. What goes around comes around.
Okay. The
law of reciprocity. Right. The law of reciprocity. Yeah, what goes around comes around.
Yeah. Same thing. You're right. They avoid karma by doing this. They embed. There are laws and principles of how this works. And they embed what they do to us are in books and embedded even in movies that we watch. Once they place these things in books and these things exist in our movies we watch, and the black we don't respond to the knowledge that's made available, We've therefore given them permission to do what they've done to us. Since we don't respond and they've made it available to us, by default, we have given them permission to oppress us the way they do. Therefore, they're able to circumvent retribution, the law of karma. We have to understand, like everything I just said to you, if you Google, you start researching massive gaslighting, the term whataboutism, benign neglect, these are all tactics. These are well-proven tactics. Everything they do to us are in books. Everything they do to us are tactics. So that's why when I see a black man reading Willie Lynch, I want to cry. It's so profoundly ignorant.
Well, let me just say this about in defense of the brother that created it, who put out the Willie Lynch letter.
Oh, I know. He was a good brother.
Yeah, he's a good brother. And he made his transition not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
In February. He died in February.
Of this year? Was it this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
He died this year. Died this year, yeah.
And understanding that when he put it out there, when you read it, it's almost like, wow, yeah, that is how things have gone. That is how, because of an observation. So even though Willie Lynch is not a real person, but the methodology and what they were saying and how it has been imposed is real.
I'm glad you said that, because here's why I'm going to reply to that. The brother was doing the right thing when he put it out. Okay. Now we do know that when Willie Lynch was, they started sending out emails throughout the African American communities. When we start receiving emails about the Willie Lynch letter, all over. Now, why was it sent if it didn't benefit the white society? Willie Lynch benefits the white society. When black people believe in Willie Lynch, it makes white supremacy stronger. How so? Here's how. In the U.S. Doctrine of Psychological Warfare, it says that the most effective means for subduing and controlling a people without physically fighting them is to manipulate them to believe that their core problem lies within themselves. That their core problem is an internalized one. When people believe that their core problem is an internalized one, this shifts their collective aggressions away from their enemies and redirects against themselves. This is why when the brother wrote the Willie Lynch lit, based upon what he saw, make observation, the white man took it and further propagated it all through our community. So I sent out 3 emails about it because it benefits the white society. Black people walk around saying, well, you know us. We got that Willie Lynch chip on us. You know we can't get shit together. You know we can't come together. We start buying into the narrative, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The white man, it's amazing, where black people, so often what black people call the liberating truth, the liberating answer, is a part of the tool that keeps us mentally enslaved. That's how clean the white man is. Where a black man thinks what is liberation is in itself a tool that mentally enslaves us.
See, one of the problems that we have had in our struggle is that because of our detachment from who we are culturally and who we are historically, many of our people believed that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having done anything, justifying the captivity and enslavement. And so, yes, as a consequence, that's why we rejected Africa. If our struggle would have been infused with a cultural component, we would have been stronger. If we'd have believed that we as African people, who are the first humans on the planet, who are the great civilization builders, that's why I keep pushing people to check out the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019, and the K stands for Kemet. Great Pyramid. This, they have done a good job of not only saying who built the pyramids, us, but how they were built, because of how they were built, is just really deep and a proof of our genius as our African genius, you know?
Yeah.
And I've also been,
said,
I'm sorry.
What you said is 100% true, but this view of Africa, the fact that many Africans throughout the diaspora have such a negative view, this is all by design. Like I said, during the 1960s, they said that Africans throughout the diaspora, particularly African Americans, had developed a romanticized version of Africa. And this romanticized version of Africa prevented the Africans throughout the diaspora from developing an allegiance toward the nations of their enslavers, where they were enslaved. So they said to increase our allegiance toward the country that we're enslaved in, they had to erode our allegiance to Africa. and they said they to erode our allegiance to Africa, they turn Africa into a source of shame and humiliation for Africans. What Africa was turning into a source of shame and humiliation, this allows Africans to detach themselves from it. It's a dissociating disorder where you don't want to be a part. To reduce the pain, you want to separate from something. And that's why they denigrate the image of Africa.
And
that's
see,
why most
and yet,
people don't know that.
And see, and yet the irony of this is that making Africans feel they've never done anything, but yet the Europeans' museums are full of African artifacts.
Isn't that amazing that how they shift reality?
Yeah.
The Greek scholars were all educated by Africans.
They sat at the feet of African people. Let me read this. Brother Ezra Arahone, who had the sovereign psyche. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. Here we are as African people sitting on all of the world's resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. And yet we beg we can go to other places. We want to abandon Africa, but everybody wants to come there and take the Chinese, the Arabs, you name it. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who have valued integration, assimilation with their former captors to the point where they completely abandon the superior wealth of their own homeland of gold and diamonds, bauxite, uranium, you name it, we have it. And yet, this is our situation because of why our minds are messed up.
Yes, but this situation is, like we said, this is all by design. Whenever the oppressed thinks exactly as the oppressors need them to, it's always because they've been socialized to do so. And until all people have to be made aware of the socializing, they have to be made aware of how it's being done. We have to make our people aware of it, you know? And once we make our people aware of it, the knowledge of it produces change. The awareness itself, when people know better, they do better. When people recognize the danger that they're in, out of a necessity to free themselves from the danger, they develop counter strategies. This is a part of the inherent human psyche. When you see the danger, you develop systems to defend yourself against it. That's why we have to make our people aware of the danger. The knowledge itself frees the mind. Our people right now, we think that when we're going to school, we're being educated. We don't realize we're being indoctrinated. But make our people must be made aware of the indoctrination process. Our people have to be made aware of the, like example, many of us know facts. We know that within our school, black students are denied a racially affirming curriculum, okay? While white students are given a curriculum that exaggerates their history, exaggerates their contribution throughout history. So white students are being socialized during the education development to believe that they are inherently superior and are supposed to rule over black people. While black people are being conditioned during the educational process to believe that we are inherently inferior and to adhere to white dominance over our lives. Here was another thing in the book when it comes to education. When you start studying how you maintain dominance, you'll learn this fact. In order for a dominant society to maintain a social dominance over the oppressed must be conditioned during their education development from the time their minds are young and most impressionable to adhere to the authority of the dominant society. This is achieved by denying the oppressed of a racially affirming curriculum. When the oppressed are denied a racially affirming curriculum, this psychologically conditions them to accept a subordinate status. This is why black people are denied a racially affirming curriculum. This is why we are taught Africans were illiterate and ignorant. This is why we were not taught that we civilized Europe. Because denying us this education conditions us to accept white dominance over our lives. The white society has used their monopoly over information that's such an amount of black people to manipulate us to perceive ourselves through a false identity that aids them in maintaining their social dominance over us. This is the core of our problem. And it continues today. It's happening tomorrow, and they plan to do it tomorrow. We have to understand it and then start any kind of strategy against it. Because we are in a unique position to free the minds of Africans who aren't even born yet by dismantling the system. And we dismantle our system by studying it, learning it, and teaching it to our people.
You know, we need to understand something, that everything that we do, and I just read that, that's the beauty of the Inye Sesim, what Baba Baruti's put together, because every time I have a subject, not every time, but most times, I don't read the Inye Sesim until the day of. And on that day, and I don't sometimes choose a topic, sometimes the day before or the day of, and the Inye Sesim hits it right on the head. Is the ancestors are speaking. The spirit is there every time. Because the reality is that our this is our responsibility to get us up out of this madness, to embrace our culture, to embrace our spirituality, to love and respect one another. It is ours. But as long as we're in this mess, as long as we're into this and affected by the Urugu virus, and just like you said earlier, this is a virus. And as long as we're in this madness, we will never think clearly. We will never come together. We will never close ranks and pull resources to do for ourselves and to speak independently, to be self-determining, to be sovereign. And we shown in hell can't do it here. It can't happen here. This is in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. Everything yes. that is here, we must reject. We must, the great movie, Get Out. That's what we're supposed yes. to do. Get out.
What's been done to us, the Russians call it ideological subversion. Ideological subversion, the Russians describe it as you instill a value system into the minds of a targeted population. And once they have been, you've instilled in their minds, presenting true information does nothing for them. Many of them get stuck into believing those idiotic ideologies. And despite abundance of information that's around there, they're unable to really be understanding their conditions to liberate themselves, to free themselves. It's called ideological subversion. And we have been indoctrinated with an ideology that benefits the system of white supremacy. And it's being reinforced daily. It begins from our school, and when we graduate high school, it continues through media propaganda. So when you see black people facing each other saying, we are our worst enemies, and we need to be like white people, we literally tell our children, you need to be more like white people, given their history.
Yeah.
You know, be more like white people. I mean, in our society, black people are perceived as being the group that are the least moral, the most violent, the most criminal, and white society are deemed as a group with the highest ethical moral standing in spite of a brutal history to the contrary.
Exactly.
How
and that's
is possible? How is possible? It's because society doesn't function based upon facts or reality.
Right.
It functions based upon narratives. The white society constantly feeds white exalting narratives into our society and black marginalizing, vilifying, criminalizing narratives. Our society then functions based upon those narratives rather than the reality itself.
Right.
I know for some this is deep, but this is the only way to liberate ourselves is to elevate our minds. We have to elevate our minds above a Bible. We have to elevate our minds above Woody Lynch.
The problem is that vice grip that the European has, and one of the main tools of that vice grip is Christianity, particularly for our people. You know, I've been fortunate enough to travel to a few other places on Africa, Caribbean, and Christianity has a stranglehold on the minds of African people. And the imagery of Christianity, whether we want to deal with it or not, I know a lot of our people talk about black liberation theology and painting Christ black and this and that. There is no historical proof of anything in the Bible and all those stories, okay? And all those individuals, no historical proof at all. And many of the stuff that is taken from African theology, African cosmology, okay? None at all. But yet, we believe it. We believe it so strongly. And we don't understand what it does to us. how it makes us think, how it makes us look at ourselves. We don't understand this. And to me, it's like this. I was talking, had a conversation one time with a young man who was steeped into that. I said, I don't understand what it is. You believe so strongly that you would rather to believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because you have a fear of burning in hell. So I'll go along with this lie. I'll go along with this facade. I'll go along with this, you know, and even if I die and it's untrue, hey, but if I die and it is true, it's not true. I mean, you know, every year around those holidays, around those, all those things, I always have a program to deal with the fallacy of the Ten Commandments, the fallacy of the Passover, the fallacy of Christmas, and all of these things. And I will continue to do so. Just like last week, I dealt with the inside job that 9/11 is, and how they have promoted it on television these past couple of weeks, particularly this past weekend, with you having all these heartfelt stories, all these acts of heroism, and so forth. And yet, not one did they ever deal with the controversy and the reality of the building number 7 falling down just like a demolition, just like the Twin Towers imploding. I'm going to tell you, Brother Frank.
Brother?
Hold on. I'm going to tell you.
I will say one thing. I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to say real quick. I'm going to take 1 minute to say this.
Okay.
To those who don't understand what I'm doing, here's the deal. To fight propaganda, the white man's propaganda, you have to create your own counter-propaganda and just keep spreading it. Just there's power in spreading it. So you must learn the truth of our condition and just continually spreading it, using social media to spread it, using these type of podcasts to spread it, gain an active understanding of our condition and continually to spread it. The same way those ignorant ideologies are spread, like our millions of people now believe that we're not from Africa, all the DNA proof that we are.
Right.
Those other false ideas, you have to spread the truth the same way those lies are spread. You have to keep repeating the truth, repeatedly over and over, keep spreading it. So if you want to be a part of black liberation, you don't have to be like a Malcolm X. You don't have to be like Dr. King. You learn the truth, and then you start plugging and propagating that truth into social media over, over, and over again. That's how you bring about change. There will be a group of people who will be receptive to it, and an ideology will grow among them. And as the ideology of truth grows among the oppressed, our chance of liberating ourselves becomes stronger. So learn the truth and just spread it unrelentingly.
Let me just say this, because I agree with you, and it is happening. It is happening throughout the continent and the diaspora. It is not happening as good and fast as and strong as I would like, but it is happening, and it is encouraging, you know.
I'm glad you said that. Remember the old saying, the revolution will not be televised?
Right.
The revolution will not be televised because the oppressors don't want us to see how much of us are waking up. So they will always use their monopoly over the media image narrative to show us a marginalized image of ourselves, keep us demoralized. But there are millions of us that are woke. Millions of us are waking up, aren't buying BS. But our narratives are not being propagated in the white society's controlled media.
And that's why we must control media of our own.
Yeah.
Everything must be independent. Everything. Sovereignty is the only way.
Brother Paul, for example. You see, Brother Paul is in London. We're here in America. But when we speak, we see we're one people.
That's right.
That's because we're seeing each other from our own narratives. If it wasn't for the internet, Brother Paul would see African Americans from what the media show him. And we would see the brothers in London from what they show us. But when we hear our own narratives, it unifies us. That we see we are one people with the same struggles, the same concerns, black liberation.
That's right. Brother Paul, are you still there?
I am still here.
We really appreciate you, man. Really do. And I'm opening up all the lines. Brother Barron, are you still there?
This is Jay. What the hell are you saying my name for and you know the number?
I don't see the number. I don't see the number, Jay. I don't see the number. I see the name.
Hey, Boogie Woogie Jones. It's good to hear your voice, brother.
Jay.
Haven't heard your voice in a while. How have you been, my good brother?
Fantastic, my brother. Fantastic. I've done many different podcasts.
Well, listen, man. It's always enjoyable hearing you. But listen, this right quick, and this is real talk. Why do we expect anything from the white man other than from which he give us? I mean, really? I mean, do we truly expect him to act and behave more differently than he do? I mean, it wouldn't be natural, would it?
I agree with you. With black people socialized to see the white man through an image that benefits the white man.
But see, what we need to understand is who he is, how he is, and what he does, and reject it.
Yeah, but
see, our people,
but
you know.
Also,
go ahead, Jay.
Also, that won't benefit of a lot of our people because of the simple fact they don't want to accept who he is. You know what I mean? I mean, we got to be kind of honest about that. The majority of us appreciate who he is and want to be more like him than we choose not to. Why do you think you have these black folks constantly trying to integrate into his madness?
And I understand that because his illusion is so deep. And then, of course, he has the illusion of inclusion, which is what you see on TV constantly, you know, and so forth. So once again, brothers, I use this analogy. They have a vice grip on our minds. So what you're saying, Jay, is always true. That's how they are, and that's how they're going to be, you know. So
it's
we're going
like to. It's like you on remote control, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality is. Black people are on remote control when they deal with this white man because he set it up to be that way. And unfortunately, we as the people don't see it that way because, you know, we've been trained
right
to act that way. And listen, if I was him, I don't think I would do
of course not. No.
Different
no.
But to keep
under,
you know,
exactly.
on remote control.
Exactly. I would do everything and anything. I would do everything and anything that would benefit me, and if it destroys them, so be it. In fact, I look for their destruction.
Yes.
You know. So.
Well, you should eat and sleep it. If you ask me, it's something that we must accept and deal with, in a sense that this white man is just the perpetual enemy of African people, and he's always going to be that. I mean, you know, the reality
that's our problem, though.
That's
our problem, though, Jay. We don't recognize. We think that we are the enemy. We're our own worst enemy. We don't understand that the European, the Caucasian, the Urugu, the cracker is our enemy. He is an open and sworn enemy. He has proven that from history. Malcolm said it best. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history and their relationship with us. Look all throughout that history, how he has undermined and supplanted us. Look at the history. Reject his ass and let's come together and let's do for ourselves. Brother Franklin, you can have the last word here because I know I got to go.
I know we're over time, but I thank you for having me on. I thank everyone who called in and participated. I do. And I want to say this to you. Regardless if there are people who aren't, we can't reach, there are people who we can reach. And it's our duty, those of us who know the truth, to continue spreading it. Because it will grow. Just keep spreading the truth. Keep spreading the truth. Regardless of how it's frustrating to feel sometimes or how you feel it's hopeless, just keep spreading the truth.
All right. Right on. All right, dear brothers and sisters. Well, thank you once again. I really want to thank all of you guys for listening and participating. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahorie. Bibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. I hope to see you on Friday. And so when we go over some words and understand the deep meaning of some words and how they put images into our minds. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.